In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Mission Sunday. The third Sunday of October is dedicated to the missions. And therefore today I would like to speak to you about the mission of the church. Before our Lord ascended into heaven, he said, "Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." These words of Christ contain the basics of the mission and of the authority of the Roman Catholic Church. Why? Because those apostles, with those words, were sent by Christ with a mission. They were sent by Christ with a job to perform in his name. And because he was God, he would be with them in the performance of this function. And the mission of the church, therefore, is to teach, to rule, and to sanctify. "Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Those are the three things that Christ gave the apostles: the power to teach, to rule, and to sanctify. And so every bishop, pope, priest, a parish priest, a pastor in the church has the power to teach and to rule and to sanctify, each according to his state, each according to his level of participation in the authority of the church. For the church has three levels of authority: that of the pope, which is the highest, that of the bishop, which is second, and that of the pastor of the parish, which is third. And each has a certain authority. And because the church has this mission from Christ to teach, to rule, and to sanctify, she is infallible in the exercise of this mission, since Christ is with her all days until the consummation of the world. And so the church's teaching that it is infallible in these things is not an arrogance, as Protestants and freethinkers and Freemasons and others would say to the church. It is not an arrogance. It comes from the very authority of God and the assistance of God to the church. And so when the church teaches, it is infallible. When the church rules and sanctifies, she is also infallible. That is, the church could never give us a law or a discipline or a sacrament that was evil or false. It could never, on a universal level, teach us to do something wrong, because it is the church of Christ, and it has the power to rule and to sanctify infallibly with Christ himself. And that's why our Lord said, "He who hears you hears me." And that's why he said to St. Peter, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind upon earth shall be bound also in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed also in heaven." It is a divine institution which has power from God and which has protection from God. And it is for this reason that we have said and continue to say that the Vatican II popes do not have the mission, which is the authority. They are not sent. Since they teach, rule, and sanctify, so to speak, in a manner contrary to the church's true doctrine and disciplines. For our Lord's sending of these apostles was predicated upon, that is, conditioned upon, their acceptance of the Holy Gospel. When our Lord said to St. Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," that was in response to his profession of faith. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And do you think that if St. Peter had said, "You're just another prophet like Elias or Isaiah," do you think that our Lord would have turned to him and said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed these things to you, but rather my Father who is in heaven, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church"? Do you think such a thing would have been said by our blessed Lord? And do you think that if the apostles surrounding him on the Mount of Olives before he ascended into heaven did not believe in him, if they had been unfaithful like the Pharisees and the chief priests, do you think that he would have said to them, "Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them," and so forth, "and behold, I will be with you all days, even to the consummation of the world"? Do you think he would have said those things if they lacked faith? Of course not. Of course not. And so, these men who have proven themselves to lack faith and who have promulgated their own defection of faith to the whole world, they lack the mission. They lack the authority. That's the Catholic faith. Because we believe that the authority of Christ is in those
who bear the name of Pope, bear the name of Bishop, bear the name of Pastor, and that that authority cannot be there unless they profess the Holy Faith. Now, that is the way that the clergy has the mission, has the authority. But there are ways in which the faithful participate in the church's mission. First of all, they must receive with docility the teaching of the church as well as its disciplines and laws. If there is an authority to teach, to rule, and to sanctify, then there is an obligation on the part of the faithful to receive the teaching, to receive the discipline, to receive the laws, to receive the sanctification. So that's the first thing. Then they must turn around and give these holy things to others. And they do so by teaching, first of all, their children, those who are in their care, those who are around them, teaching them the catechism, teaching them the faith. It's the most fundamental thing that you do. And you have heard me say many times, those of you who have children in the school, that the primary school is your home. It is not this building or these institutions or the sisters or anyone else, or the priests. It is your home, which is the primary school. We merely fill in the blanks. You must start that teaching in the home from day one. You participate in the church's mission by ruling, bringing up your children with the proper discipline and mortification that goes along with baptism. The reason why there are godparents at baptism is because the child cannot make its own act of faith, and you make an act of faith for the child. And so the priest wants to know that this child will be raised Catholic. Otherwise, he will not pour the waters of baptism upon that child's head. It doesn't make any sense. any more than it would make sense for Christ to give a mission to those who do not have the faith. Unless that child will be raised Catholic, it doesn't make any sense. And another obligation that the parents take on is to give that child the equipment to save his soul. What sense does it make for the child to be brought to the state of sanctifying grace and to have the mark of baptism on his soul, the character, if he is not going to be given the equipment to save his soul, which is the mortification of his evil passions, the effects of original sin, the mortification of the tendency to disobedience, which is another effect of original sin. Naturalism, modern naturalism, says to you, let your child run amok. Let him follow his natural instincts. And you see how modern children act. Something that people remark, everyone remarks about when they come to this school for the first time. They all say, how do you get those children to behave at Mass? Everyone says that. They are so perfectly behaved. And the answer is Catholic discipline. It's something that always existed. It's as old as the Roman Empire. It's the discipline, but it's the discipline that you give in the home. If you are not disciplining them at home, we cannot do anything in the school. And that's why we have all of the rules for the home. That's why we made those rules for the home, because our work here is useless unless you cooperate in the home. And the effect of a good home life and a good school life is beautiful. It's perfect. It's the perfection of the child. They will grow up with the faith and with good morals. That's the mission of the Catholic Church. Your children are born with no clothes on. Would you say, well, that's the way they are, so we're going to let them go naked for the rest of their lives because that's the way they're born? And would you let them die of exposure in the dead of winter because, well, that's the way it is there, that's natural? Of course not. You give them the equipment to survive physically, naturally. So also, much more importantly, you should give them the equipment to survive supernaturally, which is Catholic mortification of the effects of original sin. And in that, you participate in the Church's mission to rule. To rule for the good of your own soul. And you participate in the Church's mission to sanctify by sanctifying your own souls and of those around you by the frequent reception of the sacraments, by the works of piety, by coming to devotions, for example, and especially by the exercise of fraternal charity, which is the highest of the virtues, except for love of God Himself. And in giving this good example, you help to sanctify. The Church has a very high and strict standard of morals, more than any other religion. And it has it because it is the true faith. But what is revolting is to see a Catholic who professes his faith and professes all the high and strict standards, but who does not live up to it and acts like a pagan and accepts all of the standards of modern materialism and filth. that turns the stomach, because it is hypocrisy. It is Pharisaism. Rather, sanctify yourself and sanctify others by your good example. Good example is more powerful than bad example. It is extremely powerful. Good example. Do it. Do it in front of your children. Good example. And in such a way you teach them and you teach others. The faithful also participate in the church's mission by enabling the clergy to perform the church's work. The clergy give their lives, their whole lives to God. And by clergy I also include, although not strictly speaking clergy, but religious brothers, religious sisters. They give their whole lives to God. They need to be enabled. They cannot do anything by themselves except say Mass and preach. They need to be enabled. And so when you, for example, make donations to the church, you are enabling the priest to build up the institution. This would not be here. The church in Fraser would not be here. This would not operate except by your donations. So also, people ask me once in a while, when are you going to get your magazine going again? People ask me that all the time. I say, well, we would like to, but we just don't have the funds to do that now because it doesn't pay for itself. And there's another case where the priest could do a lot if the means were there. When you enable the priest, he is able to do a lot, and you participate in the pious works of the church by giving not only from your wallet, but also your time. Your time, your labor, which will free up the priest to work more directly with the mission of the church. For example, if a priest had to make his own meals and do his own housework, he could do practically nothing during the week. But the fact that meals are prepared for him or his housework is done frees him up to directly participate in the mission of the church. So do your part in the work of the mission of the Catholic Church, so that after you have confessed Christ, the name of Christ before men, as it says in the Holy Gospel, Christ will confess your name before his Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.